In the Bible, striving to live God's way of life is compared to warfare. It's compared to spiritual warfare. Those of us who desire to live this way are going to face many battles. These battles in our lives must be won if we are to enter the kingdom of God. Great effort and great commitment on our part is needed. If you would, let's begin by going back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'd like to begin here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, because this is where Paul was instructing the younger minister Timothy. He was instructing them earlier in this chapter about false teachings, telling him to stay away from those false teachings, and as well, focusing on physical things or the physical pursuits of this world. He was warning Timothy about that. But I want you to notice what Paul then focused Timothy on. What did he bring his attention to? Let's read here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. It says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things." Or in other words, flee these false teachings that will lead you astray. Flee these physical pursuits of this world that will lead you astray. And then he went on to say, "And pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, love, patience, gentleness, attributes of God." The focus was to be on God. Then he says in verse 12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith," of the faith, of the truth. Fight for it, he says. He tells young Timothy, fight for this truth of the great God. That's your focus. Then he says, "Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called." Paul reminds Timothy, you were called for a purpose, Timothy. Lay hold on eternal life. And he went on to say, "And have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing." Or until you keep this focus, until Jesus Christ returns. That's quite a bit that Paul laid on Timothy right there. Let's take notice of a few words here. The first word I'd like to take notice of is the word fight. The word fight here in verse 12 means to struggle. Struggle for something. It's not going to come easy. You're going to have to struggle for it, is what this fight means. It means to compete for a prize. It wasn't long ago that we just saw the Olympics. Those competitors trained their entire life to go to the Olympics, to try to win. And you can see the agony when they lose, because they gave their entire life for that prize. That's what this word fight means. It means to compete for a prize. It's something you desire. It's something you really want. It also means to contend with an enemy. Fight to get what you are to be doing. Labor fervently and strive. Here Paul was telling Timothy that great effort was going to be needed on his part. Great effort. He needed to be motivated. He needed to have a commitment. He needed to have effort put forth. Paul was telling him he needed to fight, struggle, and labor fervently for God's way and for God's kingdom. Let's now look at a few more words. also in verse 12, where it says, lay hold on. Where it says, lay hold on eternal life. They mean to seize. You seize something. You catch it. The words here means to take hold of. Here God has offered us. He's called us for a purpose. He's giving us eternal life. But we have to take hold of it. We can shipwreck ourselves. We can abandon the process in the meantime. And this is what Paul was focusing Timothy on. You have to have a focus here, Timothy. He was urging Timothy to take action and put forth effort. Put forth a commitment. Timothy was to pursue God's righteousness. All of the fruit that comes from that way of life, which was listed up there. He was to fight for God's truth, the faith, and take hold of eternal life. Timothy and every single one of us have a fight on our hands in order to enter the kingdom of God. A fight that we have to be willing to fight. Today I would like to focus our attention on that fight that is needed in our life. God expects us to be motivated to endure all the way to the end. Not to endure 1 year short, 5 years short, but to endure all the way to the end. This fight is needed in our life so that we can reach that prize. Just as that Olympic person gave their entire life to reach a physical prize. How much more is the prize that is laid before us? We are able to see and understand that those of us that God has called must do the same as Paul was asking Timothy. To pursue righteousness, to pursue godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. To pursue God's way of life. To fight, to preserve God's truth. So many false teachings are everywhere today. We have to fight to preserve God's truth, to carry it on to the next generation. And we need to lay hold on eternal life. A huge prize that's laid before us. If you'd like a title for this sermon, the title is Fighting for the Kingdom of God. Fighting for the Kingdom of God. I'd like to begin by focusing you on a much larger and bigger picture. Can you imagine the great God on His throne in the third heaven, up there somewhere, looking down on the earth and watching all of His called out brethren, wherever they may be, all across this earth. He knows them by name. He's intimately working with each and every one. His called out ones are spread out over the entire earth. Some in England, some in France, some in Italy, Africa, Australia, Canada, United States, Mexico, South America. He is watching. He's looking down at individuals that He chose personally for the purpose for them to take hold of eternal life, to enter the kingdom of God. God and Jesus Christ are intimately involved in each and every one of their lives, every single one. Including all of us sitting right here today. God's focus is to prepare each and every one of us to enter that kingdom. To endure all the way to the end. To reach the prize that we spent our entire life for. He's preparing us. God is helping us to stay focused, motivated in our fight for His kingdom. Sometimes we begin to get lazy. We begin weary, discouraged. with some of the things that we have to fight. But he's there, focusing on every single individual, wherever they are on the face of this earth. And he knows them by name. Each individual's fight is different. The physical trials that we face are different. We can look right here in this room. I guarantee you, every single one of our fight is different. If you look across the earth, look at some of the difficulty, the hardships, the struggles that God's people are faced with. Some of God's brethren that God is looking down upon are fighting for survival in third world countries. Can you imagine being there? Having that fight. Tough. They're struggling. They're fighting. They're putting forth effort, striving to stay motivated. Some of God's brethren that God is looking down upon are facing challenges just to put enough food on their table for their families to eat. Can you imagine that trial? That struggle, that hardship. See, none of us are different. We all have a fight, but we have different fights, different trials that we have to face. Some of the brethren that God is looking down upon have deadly diseases that challenges them. Very tough. We've seen some of those. Tough struggles and hardships. Some of the brethren are facing drug lords that cause extreme, dangerous situations for their families. How would you like to raise your children in some of those areas? The trials that they have to face. Some brethren are facing trials with marriage, some trials at work, or trials at school. You place your trials there. Enlist them. Think about it. We're all different, facing different fights. But the one goal is fighting for the kingdom of God. Satan would love to have any of these trials to be used to shipwreck us, to knock us off that path to the kingdom of God, that we choose to abort that invitation that we have been given. See, God is perfect. He will do everything. He's guaranteed us a place in His kingdom. Only we can make the choice to abort it. Only we can make the choice to make that shipwreck occur in our life. I went through some individual different trials that each brethren face, but we all face similar trials. Similar trials that will knock us off the track. All of us around the world are facing false teachings that will lead us away from the love of the truth, that will lead us away and back into the world. It's what Satan would love to do. Every single one of us, I don't care where you live on the face of this earth, we all have to face that trial. We have to fight it. All of us are facing Satan the devil with his many temptations in this world. Each one of us may have different weaknesses. Well, he's going to use any temptations in this world to sidetrack us, to shipwreck us. All of us are fighting our own carnal nature that's still present within us. It's there constantly pushing, hey, make your own decisions, do your own thing, be selfish, who cares about everybody else? And you begin to take the role as Adam and Eve did and choose for yourself what right and wrong is. It's a fight of that carnal nature that is still present within us. In all of our individual situations, brethren, we are all feeling the pressures against us, struggling, fighting, As I said before, can you imagine God looking down on this earth and watching his people? What's he say? What's God the Father and Jesus Christ talk about when they see all of us, all the brethren, wherever they are? He is intimately involved in each one of those lives. All of us are alike when it comes to our fight for the kingdom of God. Just as Paul was telling Timothy, we must put forth the effort and fight. Put forth that commitment to God and fight. It's a choice that we have to continue making all the way till Jesus Christ's return. What do you think God sees when he's looking down upon all of us as a group? Wherever we are at on this earth, what do you think he sees? What do you think they talk about? Good or bad? Or both? Have you ever thought about what God sees in us personally as he looks down upon me? As he looks down upon you? Have you ever thought about it? Are we still motivated? Are we still pursuing God's righteousness? Are we still fighting for God's truth? And are we still striving to take hold of the eternal life that's been laid before us? Do we have the love for this way? Do we still have an excitement for God's way of life? The Church of Ephesus somewhat is very similar to what we have to go through in our time since I've been called. And the one thing against it was they lost their first love. I have to ask myself, do I still have the excitement for God's way of life that's expected, that I need in order to fight for that kingdom? Do we still have that fire in our belly? Some of the younger people might ask, what's that phrase mean? Well, the phrase means a burning desire to achieve a goal. A burning desire to achieve a goal. It's to have fire in our belly. With this information that I just said, let's now go back. And I want to read 1 Timothy 6 once again, except this time I want to do something a little different. I want you to think personally that God the Father is looking down upon us and he is talking to you. Place your name here instead of Timothy. Make it personal. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. It says, but you, Mike Buchanan, you place your name there. O man of God, flee these things. Flee these false teachings. Flee these physical pursuits that's going to lead you astray. And, Mike, you need to pursue righteousness. You need to pursue godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, godly attributes. God is asking of us. He's going to say, Mike, fight the good fight of faith. You're going to have to fight for God's truth. You're going to have to fight for my truth, for the faith. You're going to have to lay hold or take hold on eternal life to which you were also called. I personally called you by name, and I've been watching you. You need to lay hold on eternal life. That's your purpose for being called, he would tell us. And having confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, Mike, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. How would you react if God the Father would say that to you personally? Well, God has told us these things. We have to honestly ask ourselves the question, how are we doing? Each of us have different trials that can take our focus off of what's truly important. We all have different ones. And I can't say maybe one's worse than another, even though some of them way worse than I think I have faced. I have to say that. Fighting for the kingdom of God is our top priority. It's our top priority. Anything physical or spiritual that distracts us from this goal must be pushed out of our thinking, must be pushed out of our choices. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be staying in Timothy here for a little while. Here Paul gives further instruction to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and beginning in verse 18. He says, "This charge," or in other words, "this command I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage good warfare." Paul likens it to warfare. "Having faith and a good conscience, which some of the brethren, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck." They shipwrecked themselves by their choices, "of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Here we see Hymenaeus and Alexander mentioned. What did these individuals do to suffer spiritual shipwreck and to blaspheme God's faith? Well, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's a Hymenaeus talked about here. But I'd like to begin a little earlier, leading up to this section. Let's begin in verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And this is Paul still talking to Timothy. He says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." He was preaching that. "For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer." He was doing God's will, preaching the gospel, but he suffered ill will. He was suffering trials, people harassing him for that, even to the point of chains, even to the point of being thrown into prison. He had a fight on his hand to reach the kingdom of God. He went on to say, "But the word of God is not chained." No matter what, God's truth will remain. "Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul was fighting also for the brethren to help them reach that goal, to reach the kingdom of God. Verse 11, this is a faithful saying. "For if we died with Christ," if we baptized and made that commitment to God, and that old man was buried, that old man died, and we agreed to live God's way of life at that point, "if we died with Christ, we shall also live with him," with eternal life for all eternity. "If we endure," verse 12, "we shall also reign with him." If we deny him, if we shipwreck ourselves, if we choose to abort, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Then it begins in verse 14, getting close to what I'm wanting to get to here. Paul here is saying, "Remind the brethren of these things, charging them," or exhorting earnestly them, before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. We can actually make choices and argue and hurt people that would be listening in the area. Verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, discerning God's truth accurately, but shun or flee or push off profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message, these profane and vain babblings, is a message that will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. Alexander's not mentioned here, but Hymenaeus is mentioned, but then Philetus is added. So three of them, it sounds, were in this mix. Well, what did they do? Verse 18. They strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. Oh, there's not a resurrection in your future. There's no kingdom of God. It's already past. And they overthrew the faith of some. Here we see that Hymenaeus strayed from God's truth. He made that choice to abort. He made that choice to shipwreck himself. What is even worse, Satan used him to hurt others around him, instead of God using us to help others around us. All of these scriptures that we have read in Timothy are huge for our focus that we are to have. A focus that we can put forth effort for, to motivate and push and fight for the kingdom of God. I personally have tried to be alert for the last 50 years in God's church, watching and learning from God's brethren. Starting as a little 6-year-old, probably wasn't too alert then, but very alert along the time. I can remember asking my dad, why is these people doing this? You have taught us that's not right. Or why are these children, these other teenagers my age, able to do this and we can't? And he would say, God's way is a certain way. Other people can make choices to go contrary anytime they want. But it's our choice to do what God's will is. But I've tried to be alert, even from a teenager, all the way till now, looking at God's brethren. I have seen that too many people have failed to take these words that we have read. They didn't take it seriously. In my life, at times, I have to admit, I haven't taken them seriously. Not like I should have. Many over the years, dear friends, brethren, have grown tired, lethargic, maybe said, woe always me. My trials are too tough. Many dear friends have rejected God's truth, just like Hymenaeus, and have gone back to the world's religion. I can name you some, but I won't. Many have become shipwrecked. Hopefully God gives them another chance before Christ returns, because they're dear friends. In any war we can look at, there are always casualties of war. Sad to say, any war that you've looked at. Brethren, we are in a spiritual war. We must not allow ourselves to be a casualty of this war. We can't allow it. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Same chapter earlier, beginning in verse 1. It says, You therefore, my son, talking to Timothy once again, Paul talking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Why? Because the faithful teachers like Paul, they grow old and they die. The responsibility of the ministers to teach other men and bring on newer, younger ministers to keep this truth alive, to keep this way of life alive, so that that truth never dies. We can carry this down to the next step. What about parents and grandparents? What responsibilities do we have in taking what we have been taught, teaching it to our children, to our grandchildren? You know, you always have to ask, did I teach enough? Did I do enough? Will they be able to take that truth that I helped teach them and be able to teach it to their children and be able to carry it down generation to generation until Jesus Christ returns? Verse 3, you therefore must endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul was telling Timothy that. You must endure hardship, Timothy, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You've been called to a soldier of the spiritual war. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life or of this world, that he may please God who enlisted him as a soldier. We are to please God as his soldier. God is telling us we must fight and endure any hardships we are faced with. Many of us have extreme difficult trials to face. Some over in Africa, that some of Joel Meeker's videos, just unreal what we have and compared to our brethren. We're equal. But look at the trials they're going through. They're different though. We're going through trials that they're not. They're different. But we all have a fight for the kingdom of God. Paul knew Timothy would face many tough battles. That's why he was saying these words to him. Paul knew Timothy would have to fight against the enemy that was trying to take his eternal life. God has called us to fight as a spiritual soldier of Jesus Christ. We've been called for that purpose. Christ's soldiers are not to be entangled in the affairs of this world. We are all in the midst of the world, but we're not to be a part of it. You can remember some of the scriptures that are read at the Passover. In John chapter 17 and verse 11, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to quote this for you. Where Christ was praying to his Father, he says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. These brethren are still in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be as one as we are. Christ asked the Father, help keep them. Help keep them while they're in the world. Here Christ was praying to the Father for all of us. All of us are still in the world. God is helping us fight for the kingdom of God. I'd like to quote another scripture. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, God says this. He says this to us. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's a promise, brethren, that he gives to each one of us. Keeping our focus on the kingdom of God is extremely important. Another scripture I'd like to quote. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Christ said this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." The focus, he's saying, from Jesus Christ said, seek the kingdom first and seek God's righteousness first. This way, this truth, he said, fight for it. In so many words. Let's go to the last verse, or the last verses I'd like to read in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here Paul was at the end of his life. He said a lot to Timothy. God allowed him to understand before he died that he had won the race. That he had won his fight for the kingdom of God. Let's read it here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. It says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm about to die. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He kept it. He endured all the way to the end. Verse 8. "Finally, there is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul understood that he would be entering the kingdom of God. Paul's fight was over. And brethren, he did not have an easy fight. Go back and read it. All the times he was stoned, left for dead. All the other things that he faced. Way more than me. Way more severe trials than I've ever faced. He had to fight it. Why did God allow me to go through these things? Well, there was a purpose. He had to fight. God has been looking down on this earth for many, many years, brethren. He was looking down upon Paul and Timothy when these words were written. Many of his people have died faithfully. Think about it. Look how many people God has called. He molded it, he shaped them, and then they died. They're waiting in the grave, waiting for the resurrection. Mr. Pinelli, here recently, dear friend. Many have died and are now asleep in the grave, waiting to be resurrected to eternal life that they took hold of in their life. They took hold of eternal life. They fought. They've won their race. What about us? What about us? We haven't finished our fight yet. You can ask everybody in this room. Trials, struggles, hardships of different types. You could talk to people in Africa. Flavia was over there. I'm sure she could tell you stories. Struggling. Brethren, we are still fighting the war. It's not over yet for us. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Here we're going to see that God has picked you. He's chosen us for this purpose. We must never, ever forget that. We must always keep that in our minds. He has chosen us. John 15, let's read here in verse 16. It says, "You did not choose me, But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. There's a purpose in your life. You're to bear fruit, godly fruit. But not only that, the next statement he says, and that your fruit should remain. It must remain all the way till Jesus Christ's return. Paul did that. He won his race. He goes on to say that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. If our focus is on the kingdom of God, and we're trying to submit to God, he's saying, come to me. Pray. Ask for help. I will do it for you. Now, if you ask for $1 million in pursuing physical things in the world, no. He's saying, if your focus is where it needs to be, come and ask and pray, and I will give it to you. Christ has told us to go and to bear fruit. And he also told us that that fruit must remain, must endure all the way to the end. Brethren, if God's fruit is born in us and it remains, we will never be spiritually shipwrecked. We would never abort the process. If God's fruit remains, we will not be a casualty of this war that we're fighting. Always remember, God has chosen you to be in his family as a first fruit. He's chosen you for that purpose. He's chosen me for that purpose. We did not choose him. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Here God helps us see that at the end of the fight, we can still be standing, just as Paul was still standing after his fight. God provides us everything that we need to remain faithful to him, to endure all the way to the end and still be standing. Let's read this in Ephesians chapter 6, and let's read here in beginning in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The focus, once again, where's our focus? Be strong in God and in the power of his might. He gives us his spirit to lead us, to show us, to help us in the process. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God provides us truth. If our focus is there, we will build, we will mold, we will shape righteous fruit that will help us against Satan. Satan can't take us down. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. Not if our focus is right. It's not in his choices. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. They would love to kill us. They would love to shipwreck us. They couldn't care less how. As long as we shipwreck, that's all he cares. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. What's that mean? It means God gives us truth. He gives us all of these attributes, all of this truth to help us be strong in God, to have faith in God, to live by his truth. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done it all to stand. Paul was saying that. He fought the fight. He went through it all, and he was still standing. He had the armor of God. He had God's truth there with him. Verse 14, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. God's truth is key. We must love that truth, that way of life. It's part of us. It's dear to us. We hold on to it. We protect it. Don't allow false teachings to pollute it. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, God's righteousness becomes a part of us, begins to develop. We begin to develop fruit. We begin to think like God is thinking, a little bit at a time. We begin to develop righteousness that helps us in this fight to the kingdom of God. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The feet is our foundation. That gospel of the kingdom of God. God's good news of his kingdom and all that it entails. Above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith, beginning to develop faith in God, that whatever trials we may face, we begin to have this faith developed as part of this process that God has us involved in this conversion process. Take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That means Satan will be firing fiery darts at us. But he says, with this faith, you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. The struggles, the hardships, the trials, they're going to be there. But we can fight it. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Take hold of eternal life. Be with God for all eternity. Have that as a goal. It's in our minds. It's in our fight for it. And the sword of your spirit, which is the word of God. God's word. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Being watchful to this end, with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. Brethren, we are being told to be strong in God, which includes all of these things. It puts a shield around us. It puts an armor around us. Satan cannot penetrate. It's our way to fight and still be standing at the end. We are to put on God's armor so that we will live through the war. And after we fought through it all, we're standing, watching Jesus Christ return. We are not in this war by ourselves. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I'm going to quote this scripture for you. It says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a promise that we can take to God from God. I will never leave you or forsake you. It's only us that can abort the process. It's only us that can shipwreck ourselves. He will be there all the way through. God has told us what he expects from us, but he will always be there to help us. God the Father is the one who is looking down on the earth at you and me. All of those who called all across this earth, God provides everything that we need to survive, the important things. God has given us his Holy Spirit to help us in our fight. It moves us. It leads us. It molds us. It helps shape us. It corrects us when we need corrected. God has given us everything that we need for this fight for the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is there every day to help us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. We know Hebrews 12 comes after all of those righteous brethren that won their race in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at all the trials, the different trials that each one of them faced. They're different. Each one had a fight on their hands. Each one of them won their race. They fought till the end. In verse 39 of chapter 11, I'd like to begin there instead of chapter 12. It says, all of these and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Why? Why didn't they receive their promise yet? It goes on in verse 40. God having provided something better for us who are still living, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Guess what? All of us that are standing at the end, some have died, some will be living. Just as the Feast of Trumpets, we will be rehearsing. At that seventh trump, those who have died will be resurrected to life first. Then those of us who will still be living will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. All of us together receive the prize together. We all fought for it all of our life, fighting for the kingdom of God. We're going to reach it together. Isn't that awesome? How God has planned that. Now let's go to chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, therefore, we also. All of these brethren have fought their fight. They won. But we are in the same boat. We're still fighting, though. It says, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. This is a key, brethren. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Father also was in the third heaven looking down upon Jesus Christ when he was in the midst of a fight because of all of us, paying our penalty, our death penalty. He was immersed in this fight for the kingdom of God. He had to fight for it. Look at all that he faced. Verse 3, this is when it comes down to us. It says, for consider him. Consider all that Jesus Christ went through, the fight that he had. Consider Christ, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your lives. He's saying we need to focus on Christ's life and get gain strength from that so we don't become weary and discouraged in our lives. He's saying let's study Christ's life when he's on the earth. There's so much in the Bible of studying all that he went through, his mindset, his attitude, his purpose, his dedication, his effort, his commitment. His fight. He had fire in his belly. We must understand all that he endured so that we will not become weary and discouraged in our fight. For a final scripture, let's go to Psalms chapter 33. Throughout this entire sermon, I have talked about God looking down upon all of his people. Well, this is where it talks about that. Let's read it here in Psalms chapter 33. Psalms chapter 33. And let's begin here in verse 12. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Eternal, and the people whom He has chosen as His own inheritance. That's all of us. The Eternal looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. And He's especially looking at us, the called out ones right now, working with us individually. Verse 15, He fashions their hearts individually. Why individually? Because we're facing different trials. We have different fights on our hands. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works, all the fruit, all the choices that we're making, all the decisions. What's our focus on? What's important to me in my life? That's what He's looking at. He's looking at our works. Verse 16, no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Anything physical is not going to do it. It's not going to help us with the fight. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Eternal is on those who fear Him, who have this deep respect for Him, that honors Him in our thoughts, in our choices, in our actions, in our life. The eye of God is on those who deeply respect Him, on those who have hope in His mercy to deliver their life from death and to keep them alive in famine. Verse 20, our life waits for the Eternal. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in Him. Because we have trusted in His holy name, let Your mercy, O God, O Eternal, be upon us, just as we have hope in You. Asking for help. This says that God fashions or molds and shapes each one of our hearts individually, because we're all different. God considers each one of our works, our choices, our focus, our decisions. This says God is our help and our shield. He's there. He's got that armor around us, protecting us. This says God is looking down on all of His brethren. He's intimately involved in our lives. Brethren, God the Father has called us to a wonderful future. He's laid it in front of us. It's ours. It's been given to us. But we have this fight to fight. And we have to still be standing at the end. We have to win our race, just as Paul had won his. God has chosen us specifically for this purpose. He is teaching us. He's helping us to mature, to grow and develop in His character. Not Satan, not Satan's world, but His character. He is wanting us to respond to His calling with a fire in our belly. Relentless fire in our belly. He's expecting us to put forth the effort and to be fighting to enter His kingdom. As long as we are motivated and doing our part to obey God, the fruit that will be developed, it will remain. God said He will never, ever leave us or forsake us. That's a promise. What about us? Will we be like Hymenaeus and choose to leave God? Will we choose to be spiritually shipwrecked like Hymenaeus chose? God expects us to be motivated to endure all the way to the end. Brethren, let's make this a priority in our life. We must be fighting for the kingdom of God.